All right, an abbreviated message for today. We'll see how it goes as the Spirit takes over, but abbreviated. Be nice to get to our fellowship meal, to communion. I want to talk about God's salvation and the fact that it is cosmic and it looks like love. If our world is in need of some things, it's in need of what Christ our Savior has given us. We've been through the candles, the first one, right? This cosmic reign of Christ, our God reigns through Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, now reigning at the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit going throughout the earth. The salvation will go to the ends of the earth, as we've been reading in our text. And it looks a lot like hope. It looks a lot like peace. It looks a lot like joy, and it looks like love. And this one we will light on Christmas Eve to represent Christ, right? The center of all those things. But doesn't our world need love? Do not you and I need love? We need it in the person of Jesus Christ, and he gives it to us through what he has done. He offers it freely, and we simply can receive it. But not only that, it goes further. You and I, as human beings created in God's image, were made for love. We were made to love and to receive love and to do it freely. And our world today is desperately in need of love. Well, I said last week, I said, where does the source of love come from? What is it? Or no, the source of joy, where did it come from? Where does the source of joy come from? The Lord. Well, how about love?
Same.
Ditto. Christmas is all about good news, and the good news is to us, to me, to you, a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. And make no mistake, Jesus is Lord. And in all things, he will be Lord. Sometimes we look around and we see something totally different going on. But that's the truth. Listen to John 3:16. Popular text, but let me read the whole thing because sometimes we stop after the first line. I want you to see what Christ has done. We've been on this journey now, walking through the biblical worldview, and we know that right away after everything is very good and there's shalom, there's flourishing in every relationship. Things are operating exactly how they're supposed to operate. Love between Adam and Eve, so to speak, between human beings, men and women, is good, very good. And then we know already in chapter 3, things go south. Sin enters the world and it leaves nothing untouched. Sin, we talked about, is kind of like pollution. It's like corruption. It's our law breaking. We willingly break God's law. And by the way, don't think of it as some arbitrary thing that keeps you from happiness and joy. They're laws of love that God gives. To love your neighbor as yourself, to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Listen to 3:16. God comes in the middle of this understanding, this experience of our chaos and brokenness, and this is what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. When you hear John 3:16, is that what you hear? That whole thing. What it's saying clearly and plainly is that you and I need a Savior. We need to be saved from our sin. Its penalty, its wrath, its judgment. The world needs a Savior. We quickly recognize today that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's true in our own hearts. when we break God's law of love, whether it's to him as being the sole lover, right, of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, or it's not loving our neighbor well, and again, we break this every day, we experience the chaos, the brokenness in our relationships with these things. Even our best efforts, it's just true. Foolishness, doubleness, self-centeredness all the time characterizes our everyday and affects our every relationship. Why do I say this today? Because we need a Savior. This is why we celebrate Christmas, because this is the good news. A Savior has come for the world. It's big, it's cosmic, and it's pointedly for you and for me. God's word is a good news story. Why is Christmas celebrated so widely, so wonderfully, year after year by God's people? Because this is the moment in history, the history of God's world. Now get that, it's God's world. That in the history of it, he sent Jesus to save the world. Why Jesus? Have you ever asked this? Maybe you have. Why would God, the Son of God, become human, take on flesh, become incarnate? So I'm going to give you a bit of theology here, based on Scripture. Critically important to understand. God is righteous and just. He is also loving and merciful. Do you know any human being who can hold those things together as one? God can. We need a Savior, and it had to be Jesus. It could only be Jesus, because only a human being could pay for human sin. Remember the sacrificial system, right? If you've read anything in the Old Testament, you're like, why are they shedding all these, the blood of these animals? It's like a substitute, right? But it didn't cover it. You had to keep sacrificing over and over. You see, Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all, for the payment of all sin. This is good news. He had to be fully human, and Jesus is. Why Jesus? God incarnate, right? The incarnation is such a deep mystery. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Mystery. Well, he had to be God. And Jesus was fully God, because only God could bear the wrath of the penalty or the weight of all of the sins of the world. A human being couldn't do that. It had to be God. And Jesus is both of these things. Why is Christmas so special? Because to us a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. So at the center of history is Jesus, his birth, life, death, and resurrection, and this is good news. Listen to Galatians 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law. All these things are important to redeem those under the law. See, we were under its curse. We broke God's law of love, that we might receive the adoption. That's right, in Christ we become God's children, his sons and his daughters. And this changes everything. Why would God become this? Why would God do this? Because he loves us. He loves the world. Romans 5, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, and we are powerless to save ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. I know we don't like that. It's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. This is gospel. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I'm going to ask again, why? Why? He loves us. You know he knows your name. You know he knows everything about us. Sometimes that can give us a feeling like, I don't know if I like that, but Jesus paid for our sins. His righteousness becomes ours. This is why Christmas is so celebrated, why it's so important, because God becomes incarnate and is born a baby boy. Talk about vulnerability. Because he loves us. So we enter a new year shortly, 2026, another year of our Lord. The Savior has come and we receive him. We'll begin the year in continued discipleship. You know what we're going to explore here? We're going to talk about this salvation and how it unfolds. We're going to understand what atonement means. What happened with Jesus' death? We're going to talk about justification. These are good things to know and understand about the truth of the gospel. We'll put them in layman's terms, certainly, but this is what it's been defined as over time, what we see in the truth of Scripture, what Jesus has done. We're going to talk about redemption. Boy, you go to some Old Testament stories and you learn about redemption, and then you see what Jesus did, and it'll blow your mind. We're going to talk about reconciliation. You know, this distance between God, this distance between one another that we feel, we understand, we experience. We're going to talk about what Jesus did to reconcile, make that relationship right again. And we'll talk about resurrection for sure, as well as some other things. And then we're going to talk about through Lent and to Easter is how then ought we to live? So what? That's a great question, leading us to some more stuff. I want to finish today, okay, because we're going to enter into a time of communion and then a time of fellowship together. An analogy, and I think the analogy is kind of rough, but so what, right? Maybe you get something out of it, or you see something I didn't see. Do some of you lose power?
Still.
You're up in the mountains.
Boulder.
Still.
But why not again?
Okay. Well, what comes around goes around. We were the first people to lose power. No, like 2, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, whenever it was, the first wave, we lost power for about 24 hours. But man, you're still out. Okay. We tried the dry ice thing. I think it worked. But they'd only sell us one because it was in high demand. That's okay. Several trees down on the church property. Our landscaping mulch from the corner to right here is in Kansas. We and our lives can be like a windstorm. We too can cause chaos. We're capable of it. Our own sin, its ramifications, individually certainly, but also think about it broadly, like we did a few weeks ago, like societally we do this. We cause chaos. Blow down trees. If you think about us being connected, right, through wires, now we're wireless, right? But it's like through wires. We sever power lines all the time with God, with each other. The food in our fridge spoils without being plugged in to the source of power. I hope you get something out of this. I wish I'm trying. We need a Savior. Our world needs a Savior. The good news is the Savior has come. Will you receive him? Will he be, as he is, Lord of your life? Christmas time sometimes is one of the most hardest broken times of the year because families are, right? How can you be light? How can you be salt for the glory of God? How can God even take the broken things of your life and redeem them? Give you shalom. Lead you into flourishing, even in the midst of some terrible loss. That when receiving Christ as King, we also get this Emmanuel. You know that's his name. God with us. Oh, there's so much more to say. That maybe with a down tree, maybe we've been one of those, right? Just been blown over by the wind of whatever it is. Our own, someone else's, who knows? That a seed of faith in a new sapling can begin to grow, becoming a tree as God designed, now redeemed to be, that can produce fruit in season, leaves that don't wither. We can engage in loving God with an open, unhindered heart, free, and we can love others even when we're wronged. Do you hear that? Even when we're wronged, we can love. No better way to celebrate Christmas, in my mind, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, where we talk about love, than to take communion. So if you are someone who have put your faith in Jesus, right? You have even just a basic understanding, right? That I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Would you come to the table? It's a free gift to all who will receive it.